Reno Center, February 13, 2022. After meditation and bhajan, Kavi starts the study circle by reading the quotes.
Tonight's study circle is from Love and Wisdom. It's Being Fooled No More. First, we're going to read a quote from Sai Baba, from Jnana Vahini. The idea of the snake, which is an illusion, or maya, flourishes on the ignorance of the real nature of the rope. It grows and becomes deeper the more one forgets the rope, which is the base. The ignorance that prevents and postpones inquiry into the nature of Atma makes illusion flourish. Illusion, fostered by this attitude, becomes as thick as darkness. When the flame of spiritual wisdom illumines, the darkness is dispelled, along with the illusion of the individual soul, the supreme being, and the world. Inquiry makes the snake disappear. Thereafter, only the rope remains. So too, illusion and the blossoming of that illusion through the mind as the soul, world, etc., will all disappear as soon as inquiry is done about the reality of the appearance. One knows that there is nothing other than Brahman. Brahman alone subsists. Now we'll read Being Fooled No More. Maya, dressed in colorful garments with infinite faces. Many lives dream, I played your game. I pushed and pulled in vain, trying to understand you so that I could work with you. I sold my freedom to you, you temptress you. As soon as I saw your pretty face, as I approached in joy, it transformed either to an ugly image or to a shallow joy. You fooled me in your illusion, your nothingness, yet I was convinced that you are real with the mighty power. What a mockery you made of me. Now I am old and wise. I have worn many clothes. As I have dropped each one by one, now I sit in silence, reacting none to your fanfare or your many shows. I keep silence. Not a thunder nor earth-shaking blows can convince me that what you are can be anything but infinite imagery in the cosmic mind. SAP, February 5th, 2007. What does this passage, Being Fooled No More, make you feel when you hear it? Or what does it mean to you when you hear it?
For me, it means I'm done, I'm fed up, and I don't want to be fooled anymore. Just leave me alone, Maya.
Well, one thing it means to me is how sad, or yeah, sad, who wrote this, went through all of this so that, and digested all of this so that she could share it with us in a way that we could understand it and see it. And I just think that's really awesome and really just incredible that someone went through all of this and then can digest it and give it to us to be able to see it. And I think that's really special.
following to what Carrie said, she tells us the nature of, teaches us the nature of mind and the nature of our souls. So we have the option of not going with thoughts to be fooled by Maya and stay.
And also it breaks down the nature of Maya, I feel, so like beautifully. It's just what its nature is, what it's capable of doing if you go with it.
It seemed bigger to me, like more final than not going with the thought. Fooled no more. Like Cavi said, the completion of a process is how I kind of took it.
Many lives dream, I played your game, I pushed and pulled in vain, trying to understand you so that I could work with you. And you're, from what is meant by trying to understand or work with Maya in your experience?
I think it's playing the game, not knowing it's a game. Like, we think that I follow all the rules and it's, I'm gonna be happy. I'm gonna hit a place where it's all been worth it. That's what it is for me.
It reminds me of the line that Sat says, every thought is painful. It's like trying to understand every thought and whatever that comes after that.
Mm-hmm. It reminds me of this part where Baba says, the idea of the snake, which is an illusion, flourishes on the ignorance of the real nature of the rope. This part, it grows and becomes deeper the more one forgets the rope, which is the base. And to me, this part about pushing and pulling in vain, trying to understand you so that I could work with you, is the trying to work with Maya without. But the real job, the real thing to do is to not forget the rope, which is the base, and instead working with Maya. To me, they seem very similar.
This reminds me of the study circle we had 2 weeks ago about uprooting, not just reforming, not making it look better or trimmed or anything like that. That's what this reminds me of.
I sold my freedom to you, you temptress you. What does it mean to sell your freedom to Maya in your experience?
I think when we start to struggle with Maya and we start to push and pull and play that game, that I feel like we're chaining ourselves to that. And so we're giving away our freedom of knowing who we really are when we're stuck in that.
Yeah, it's something similar for me too. It's when we go with the thoughts and when we give importance to the Maya or to our fear of seeing the snake instead of rope, it's like it's an ongoing process until we stop it. We become a slave to our thoughts, to our reactions, and we react to it.
For me, it's going with its old tendencies and reactions of based on the memories and like what society and all the everything around us before becoming more vigilant and aware of what we're doing. So the way of life that I had before, that was like selling my freedom. to Maya.
I feel like when you don't have the tools or guru, that's just how you live. You don't question, like, that's your obedience to the Maya or to all of that stuff. It's just, you think that's the way to live. That's how your parents live. That's how your neighbor lives. That's how your friends live. You don't, it's only when I feel like when you get introduced and you realize, my gosh, I really wasn't happy. I really wasn't comfortable. I was suffering. But you, unless you come on a path, you don't question that. That's just a natural way that everybody lives who's not questioning it.
Yeah, I feel like you can read this, probably wisdom in different texts, but we're so lucky to have someone to actually say it to us, and somebody that we believe. I mean, we're so lucky for that.
I think the writing of Maya, dressing colorful garment, is quite powerful, because it really talks, if every one of us heart could actually talk our true feelings, our true sentiment, we would all agree that it would say something like that. But what fascinates me is what Baba said in his code, because is what we talked about on the chat. I don't know when it was, about self-inquiry and the importance of self-inquiry. And the fact that Baba says, all will disappear as soon as inquiry is done about the reality of appearance. And as you remember, we talked about the most important to realize what is not real, what is not us, because that's the obstacle. When we have a wall between ourselves and a piece of land with wildflower that we want to be on it, we don't try to bring the piece of land through the wall. We remove the wall. So the same thing is here. We don't need to constantly struggle to know what God is and try to be like Him. The easiest is to remove the wall of ignorance. And Baba talks about Maya, the illusion, and he gives it the expression of the rope in the dark. It says the ignorance is that prevents and postpones inquiry into the nature of the Atma. In other words, remove the ignorance, then you know the nature of Atma. And I love this part, because we talked about taking the torch into the dark room. When the flame of spiritual wisdom, jnana, illumines, the darkness is dispelled, along with the illusion of the individual soul. Is the individual soul or jiva that it gets reborn? It's like going from tonight's dream to the last night's dream. And the supreme being, Ishvara or Brahman. Okay, let me see. The darkness is dispelled along the illusion of the individual soul, the supreme being Ishvara, and the world, Jagada. Who can explain? why Baba says, when you bring the torch of wisdom into a darkness, darkness is dispelled along with the illusion of the individual soul, Ishwara, and Jagat, the world. Why is he putting all three of them in one category?
Is it because they were never separate without the illusion?
I'm just asking.
Because they're all part of the illusion.
Sat, you said that when we go to very deep sleep, when it's not a light sleep anymore, then there is nothing. There is no God, there is no me, there is no world, there is everything. Still, there is none of those.
What were you going to say, Sachin? I'm sorry.
No, that I was just shaking my head agreeing with Panas.
I was going to read something that you said that is similar. The people who are highly evolved say that the world is within you. But we see the world not within, but outside. Well, as long as we keep ourselves in the imprisonment of humanness, the world is outside because we are one individual and there are so many bodies on the phone with different individuality. Then you look out the window and there are trees, mountains, birds, lights. So how can we believe that the world is not within? When it says within, I am talking to myself. It is not within the body. It is within the consciousness. There is only one consciousness, and everything appears in that one consciousness. Nothing can appear outside of this consciousness. You can also call this consciousness existence.
It's really interesting because us, every one of you that is hearing, including me and the people in this room, it is so rare for a soul to be ready to receive what we are receiving. It's for us is ordinary. It's completely not ordinary. I really want to congratulate all of us, absolutely with me included, to... Oh my God, it's... We are talking about the things we are finding. Quote from Baba. That perhaps nobody is interested to hear. When Baba talks about this three category, it could blow people's mind. But in Jnana Vahini, he is telling wisdom. He's not beating around over the romantic sentences. But the beauty of it is that we are ready. And our readiness is our attraction to it. We are attracted to it because the inner guru is stimulating this charming attraction toward it. So they can, the whole thing can merge. The whole history and individuality. That's the first time I hear Baba talking like that, because I read many of Baba's books. We have about 200 of them here. How we are all zoomed to get to the essence of Baba's teaching, he must be very happy with us. It's not about succeeding, it's about our sincerity and interest that will not let us go until we arrived out of the cloud of ignorance.
Tonight I'm just impressed that way. That is not about our failing our practices or not being able to stop properly, but the inner guru will not let us go. The true existence. No matter how many times we fall as a personality. So move on, Kavi. I was just very impressed.
You fooled me in your illusion, your nothingness. Yet, I was convinced that you are real with the mighty power. What causes us to be fooled like this and convinced that Maya is real or has mighty power?
We don't know any different. We think that's the illusion is our reality, but we don't.
They told us we grew with that until we met Sa, our guide. We didn't know any, I didn't know any better. But following what, the things that parents or whatever, they consume my mind.
I just knew I wasn't happy though. I just knew that didn't feel good for me, that there had to be more that would feel good.
I think it starts from the believing from the first moment that we think we were born.
What tools or practices help keep you from being fooled by the illusion described here? I have a lot, I know, of tools and practices that help me, but this question makes me think of what helps me in the moment when I can feel it starting to take over or happen. And something that really helps me is to just stop from that first thought that has proven itself to take me down. And it's proven it so many times when I see it, no. And that really keeps me from being fooled now that I know what it means to be fooled.
Aside from the tools, what I see when you ask that question is how over the years, all of the tools and all of the wisdom that we've heard have decreased that belief in the mighty power. It's weakened it little by little. And that's what stands out to me right now when I look at it. It's just the accumulation of all of it.
For me too, it's all the tools, all the wisdoms, all the association in all the different ways with the truth and the grace of all of that. And being fed up with being fooled. So, all of the above.
One of the tools that has been helping me from the beginning is the love that I have. And it makes me one pointed, I don't say, I haven't failed, I still fail, but that is the highest tool for me that stops me, helps me to stop.
For me, it's a stop and silence who have helped me a great deal. And I have a follow-up question about the nature of inquiry. I don't believe this is a logical or mental exercise. For me, when I've had questions in the past, I focused on them. and then I let it go, and the answer presents itself in some fashion. Is that what we mean by inquiry? Or are there other tools or techniques or things that can make inquiry more active and deeper?
I think, I'm going to say in my case, because I don't know what to advise, in my case it wasn't a question of how I do it. It was a question of, I want to know. I wanted to know the cause of suffering. It felt incredibly unnatural to see anybody to suffer, or myself, or in pain, or even illnesses, as if I came from some place that none of these existed. And then I find myself in a place that all of them does, or appears to do. It threw me in a loop. I became very depressed. And that's what my journey started, and just going to see Baba, really, it was for the cause of suffering and what is going on. And when I asked him, he said, listen to your conscious voice in a private interview. And then I said, I don't know what conscious voice is. And he said, you will. And so that was the beginning of it. Now, to be able to give you some sort of direction, as I said before, if one can stay in silence while active against the thoughts, the feelings, the emotions, you don't need self-inquiry. If you can stay in that permanently. But if you still find yourself in grip of some sort of tendency or weaknesses, question it. As Ramana would say, ask to whom this thought coming to. Then the answer would be Mansur, me. Me as an individual. So now the individual is in pain because of the thought. Then ask yourself, who am I? When it says me, who is this me? By questioning and having inquiry about the nature of the Maya, like my discovery with the night dream and daydream, I read it afterwards, but that really came out of my inquiry. I saw such a similarity between night and day. By doing that, eventually you realize who you are not. But as long as your interest is to be in the silence, just expand that. Expand that throughout your day as much as you can, and that should be enough. But in case, like I said that to you before, the inquiry is questioning the stability of what we believed. Why did I believe that? Who believed it? And that alone takes you to silence. But it goes to silence because the illusion is not being questioned. It's like going to a movie for the first time, and it's a drama. and you get so involved with what is going on in the movie that you find yourself in the screen, I mean, emotionally. And this can go on for 2 hours, the length of the movie. Or you can, for a minute, a wisdom comes to your mind and say, wait a minute, where am I? Who am I? And then you realize you're not on the screen. You never were one of those people in there. And emotionally, everything drops. But until you question it, your emotional connection with the scenes start having more height until you get out of the movie. And get out of the movie, you don't want to wait for the end of the movie. That's the end of our life to realize. And like I said, we chip away at our false understanding. Chip away. Don't hurry, just chip away. Do you understand, Mansoor?
Sachan, you answered the question that I had written down, but I didn't quite ask yet.
Good.
It's just amazing. I saw a dichotomy between the two, and I was going to ask, one seems like an incremental approach, yeah, and the other one is more just uprooting whatever branch it is or tree it is. And thank you very much for explaining that to me.
We are in different movies every day. Some of them is drama, some of them is comedy, some of them is very romantic, some of them is just the story of life itself. It's nice to remind ourselves, wait a minute, you're in the theater. Have your popcorn.
Take a sip of your drink.
Have your Coke.
Eat your pomegranate.
Eat your pomegranate.
So it's okay to watch the movie, just don't get wrapped up in it.
Just have your popcorn. Namaste.